بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and a very warm welcome to another weekly edition of Living the Legacy. In last week's program, we began with part one of a two-part series on the concept of futuwa. We talked about raising our sons to be gentlemen. Our guest was and is today with us, Sister Coach Naila Kaji. And Naila is a mindful coach and is a CETA, S-E-T-A, CETA accredited trainer as well. We've been talking about how futuwa encapsulates values that go beyond just etiquette. And we spoke about respect and responsibility. And a focus was on gender, because we often apply those principles with our daughters, our girl children, but not so much often with our boy children, and that could be cultural or could be societal, but it is important that we are aware of that and that we are the ones who make that change and become the agents of those change. We're continuing that delightful discussion with Naila today. I know after last week, as you know, we're recording the interview, so after last week's recording, it gave me time to really sit and reflect and think about this. For me, I'm in a different stage of parenting. I am what you would say a temporary empty nester, and for me, it's reflecting on what it is I can now do within that space or the season of life that our family is in, and still apply the principles of futuwa in the nurturing of my child. And I wonder what it's like for you listeners. But let's find out more today. Let's talk more on this wonderful topic with our guest, Naila Kaji. Coach Naila, assalamu alaikum, and welcome back to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me, Papa.
It's such a pleasure. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Great to be back with you. And on this topic itself, I don't know many people who are able to speak and elaborate on this topic as you are doing. Allahumma barik, mashallah. And yeah, let's get into today. Today we're talking about, firstly, like more about behavior, about modeling behavior. And I'm wondering if there's, let's just address one part of it first. Perhaps if when we're talking about modeling behavior, if we could ask you, what are the ways that, because we talk about, you know, being the change and being the ones who don't just, you know, talk the talk but walk the talk. So what are the ways that we can model that behavior that we want to see in our sons or nephews?
I think the important thing is to remember that we're not all on the same level of understanding or on the same maturity in our development, in our personal development, and that we need to be kind for ourselves, with ourselves. But a parent or a mother, we all have the same thing in common. We all just want the best for our children. So if we can connect ourselves with ourselves first, that would be a good starting point. And have conversations with yourself and ask yourself, what do I want? You know, I think we are so, we're living in a way, it's also our conditioning, which we decided to talk more about, but we're sort of unconscious beings, if I may put it that way. You know, we want to please other people, and even our goals are not our own. You know, we spoke last week about always being concerned what other people were saying in this battle, and it's difficult. It's an inner battle that we have with ourselves. We lose ourselves. So before we start giving advice, which is not a good thing, because in coaching we don't give advice. We are chatting about this, and these are just, you know, suggestions. But when we connect with ourselves, we will find the answers within. But yes, we will give the guidance as to how to go about. So when we go back up and we look at our value foundation, also the fatwa of values, which is, you know, respect and understanding, integrity, responsibility, all those kindness and compassion, which we chatted about last week, we need to see how are we going to portray this. And I think we touched on that as well, but just, you know, repeat is very good. So what are my values is question number one. Right? Mm-hmm. How am I going to execute this? Because a value is a verb, it's a working word. It's no use I tell my children to do certain things, but I don't do it, because it is a family thing. We often look at corporate world, which I come from originally, and that inspired me to sort of work in communities and with people and more close to home, is that they set targets and the whole team works in that direction. They know where the end goal is. And they measure their performance. And at home, we decide, yes, we will do this, we will have Quran reading on it, we'll do that, we'll do that, we'll do that, but we never measure our performance. We don't know how we're doing as a team, we don't know how we're doing as individuals. So if we think in terms of modeling the behavior, because kids do as we do and not as we say, we need to have a contract with ourselves, understanding what my values are. Understanding how I'm going to live these values and also discuss this with my family so that they can have a buy-in on it, and then it's so much easier for them to also roll it out. So it's not that difficult. It's just that we need to open and foster strong bonds with our sons. Obviously, we're not leaving the girls out, but our focus is on the young men now. And we need to nurture them emotional development, because this is what we're lacking a lot in today's time. Like I said, it's just nice to have, you know, the social media can be good, but it can be very bad also if you're not in awareness. And it's not so much moms, dads, it's not so much what we're learning here in this, you know, with our intention with these discussions. It's for us to identify what we need to unlearn. What am I doing to impress this one? What would that one think of me? Should I be also saying yes to this? Because what will that mommy think? I don't know if I'm going off topic, but I work a lot with people. And I always find like saying something and taking it together, for me, I always call it nice to haves. It's a nice idea. But how are you making that real in your life? And for who are you doing it? And if I look at parenting, it is a very, very big responsibility. You work on a marriage 24/7, but I think you put 48 hours into being a parent. You know, it's a big responsibility on us. So if we're going to take this as a serious business, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, for the listeners, I'm encouraging you, I'm motivating you. Don't complicate it. You know, check in with yourself. Ask yourself, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And for who am I doing it? And at the end of the day, it is for the people that you love. It is always aligned with Sunnah and Quran. It is always the end goal where we're all going. And it is for our families. So if I can compare that, you know, I like realistic, or just to trigger or challenge the minds a little bit. If we, our people, we have a lot of businesses. We own our own businesses. And if we think of teams in the business, think of that as a team at home as well. If you think in a business, I am packing the shelves, I'm pricing the things, I'm having a clean store, whatever business you are in, you can just adjust that in your mind. Mm-hmm. Then who is my customer? My customer is not only external. My customer is internal as well. Because we as employees are each other's customers, and then the output is the customer outside. Exactly the same thing at home. We're kind and compassionate and loving and understanding and having empathy with everybody out there, with my sister's child, with my friend's child, because, okay, what will they think and what will they say? But where we're not watched in our homes, we don't model that behavior. So modeling behavior is very simple. Model the behavior that you want in your kids. You know, act the act. Just do that. What you expect from them, because they are going to challenge you. I don't think I can go more on that. It's just that the final, I get a bit sad when I when we talk about this, because we wear many masks as human beings, and I work with a lot of teens, and it's very, very sad to hear what they say. We can't speak to our mommy. I can't speak to my daddy. I can't, you know, and then they go out there and they get that acceptance from their friends. Mm-hmm. And that love and connection that they look for, and it's not always the best place. And where you feel you have a sense of belonging, you're going to model the behavior that's happening out there in the world. And then we're surprised at the end of the day. So let us all create a safe and non-judgment space, and let us have an open communication, because we are going to make mistakes, you know, as adults, young, as a parenting role. But we can always discuss this with our children. We can always use it as an example, you know, I've done this, how can we correct that, so that they can learn that from us. And that's my story on that.
Well, that's a very, very beautiful story. Thank you so much. The two things that stood out for me, the two C's really, the contract with ourselves and the connection with ourselves. While we're so busy trying to mend and build and nurture, we often don't look back into the connection with self. So that was a big takeaway for me. And the contract. You know, we take our businesses, our careers so seriously. But when it comes to our family, we sometimes, you know, we just wing it sometimes. Like, it's going to work out. We're good people. Our kids are good. Yeah.
By default.
But the amana is greater than that. Not even overwhelmingly. In a very sacred way. Definitely.
And if we understand this, the ease come, you know, because we need to love ourselves, understand ourselves. It's also emotional intelligence in a way, because if you can manage yourself, you can manage your family, you can manage other people. So it's just that stepping into that awareness, you know.
Stepping into the awareness, inshallah. So we're modeling that behavior that we want to see in our sons, and then conflicts come around, and often as the adults in the family, we may be triggered because of perhaps what type of the upbringing or the society we were grown up in, or schooling method, or any of those all put together, life itself, and we may see conflict playing out between our children as siblings, or between us and our child. Some of their behavior may trigger us, and we wonder, why are we so irritated? Why am I irked by this child in particular? To take us through, Babs, how do we navigate this? And I know, I'm going to put this disclaimer out there, I know that this is definitely not enough time. It doesn't do justice, because family dynamics and triggers and all of that are deep topics that people need to sit with practitioners like yourself and focus on one-to-one. But if there was something general for us all to be able to anchor ourselves to, or just to take note of, when it comes to handling conflict.
I think when we look at conflict, we need to look at it in a positive way. If I may just encourage the word conflict, so we normally break it down and we'll write it not across the page but down, and we'll say, okay, what can we say for the C, communication, you know, what can we do positive for the O, the N, and so forth. So when there's conflict, it should be our guiding, you know, where is it coming from, why is it, and problem solve it, instead of just, you know, becoming unconscious and reacting and, you know, giving words that can harm in the long run. And I like what Appa said, look, it's always when we are disturbed by something, the word projection has a lot of meaning to it. We often project what's inside. So it's our inner child screaming out. And that is why knowing this yourself, know where I come from, why am I like this, you know. In Afrikaans, they've got a nice saying where they say, buig die boompie terwijl hy klein is. And we need to be very forgiving towards ourselves and our parents, because sometimes they just, most of the time, they just didn't know better. And the same with us. We're so busy surviving, you know, putting food on the table, paying, you know, all the overheads. Life is difficult. I mean, it has its challenges. So if we think of conflict, we should actually be very positive towards it and go and unpack it, you know, and look, why is this happening, and what can we do to turn this around? I look at it as problem solving. So there's I think I must do a simple, you know, Appa must give me marf, when you ask something, there's so much that comes to mind, because coaching is a very broad everything, but yet everything connects with everything. So there's a lot of repeat, but it's actually good for us because this way we rewrite the, you know, the negative narrative or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if I think about it now, there's one that I always give people that's quite fun. We call it the five wives and the one husband. Not four wives, but five wives. So what are the W standing for? It is why, and you unpack the why, the what, the where. What is the other W's? Why, what, where, when.
When, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And there's one more. I promise you, help me. The question.
Is it who?
Yes, yes. So yes, that's 100%. And then the H is for how. So we have.
So the only way I'm supposed to give you to tell you why that was that I knew that was only because with us in journalism, right? We have the W. So that's the only reason I could help you on that.
No, but I'm sure I can hear that you have a lot of knowledge, and it's not about that. We all help each other, you know. So yeah, we forget we're human beings, but that's a fun way. So you can sit. And then you can, you know, interrogate, like, you know, because that's not what we do. We go, we model behavior that we've seen before. We never talk about the problem at hand. And we start getting personal. Not everybody now, but I just mean the general problems are ongoing. You, like, even if you watch two siblings fighting, the one will tell the other one, okay, you lazy, your room is like that, your homework isn't, you stupid, whatever it is, the younger. Now, when we can sit down and we can calmly put our feelings aside, we also teach them something and said, let's look at it. Now, who's involved? I think who should be first up? What happened? Why did it happen? Where did it happen? You know? And then get to the H and ask, well, how can we solve this? You know, how are you feeling? How would you feel? And that's one of them. But there are many problem solving. There's always reasons for conflict. But we have emotional intelligent tools that we also empower the youth with so that they can just have these ones coming up. One is also like the we used to say robot, but the traffic lights, you know, so the red is for stop. So if something happens and I feel that shock and denial, let me just stop and just take account of my feelings. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I going to do? And when it's amber, then you look, you know, it's, whatever you would do at the kids drive from so young, what would I do at a traffic light? Apply that. And at green, now I can go, I'm calm. I've taken a few breaths. I'm in the moment. I understand what has happened to me. Now I can chat about it. So there's many like this, you know, and we can share that as we go along. But conflict, don't think of it as negative. See it as a guiding thing. It happened for a reason. And how can we solve this so we don't repeat the same conflict, for instance? And many a times it comes back to home. Many a times it's, we want to point the finger at somebody, but three shows back. And like Appa so beautifully said, it's a trigger within us. It's something that we need to heal. And it's our inner child that comes. I've got plenty stories, but I don't want to take up the time so we can get through the subject. But one that I often use in my coaching, which was when I was a very young personal life coaching practice, my first client had, and I always share this, she was a new bride, and her husband played with her playfully, and you're like, you know how we have a pillow fight, but he just nudged her with his leg and like pushed her, and she got off the bed, and she was so mad, and she felt she wanted to kill him in the moment. And as we unpacked it, I realized that when she was a very young child, like a toddler, her nephews, because it came up, they played roughly with her, and they kicked off the bed, and she knocked her head, and she had stitches, and you know, she was told the story. But the emotions that went with it, the understanding from such, let's say she was 5 years old, that they're nasty, they tried to hurt me, was not resolved. No, the support system was not there. They just moved on. She got the stitches, she moved on. And it went into the subconscious and yourself as memory. And when something similar happened, it triggered that reaction in her. In Cape Town, so they say in Cape Town, you know, like this slang. And we have this expectation from people. Why is she like this? But why is she like that? But if we can turn the focus inside out and think, you know what, shame, that person has been going through something. We don't know her story. And turn it the other way and check yourself. Why did I react like this? Why do I always why am I always thinking nasty of somebody, or I'm always suspicious, and it's worth it to take the time and unpack and then make an informed decision and improve ourselves. So yeah, conflict is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's a cue understanding ourselves better.
Oh, I think that's quite a lifesaver, definitely. I think for so many people who just feel overwhelmed hearing about family conflict or the topic, you've just injected more hope and a fresh perspective. Alhamdulillah for that. Let's perhaps talk, teach it on manners and etiquette, because one thing I was really impressed by, Allahumma Barak, is you're very friendly and open and humble way. May Allah keep you that way always, Ameen.
Ameen, Ameen.
So I want to take us through a bit. Let's talk a bit about, I know we model behavior,
yes.
So we also need to be modeling communication that's polite and respectful. Take us more about how we can engage and encourage our boys in that regard, please.
Okay, so I think we as mommies like to spoil the boys. Let me just start there. And we, you know, we put a lid on their potential because we feel, and it's also coming from our conditioning, you know, girls clean, girls cook, girls feed, girls pack the food away and whatever, just the little house chores and stuff. And if we can also just think about that, because if we empower them that, so we get, it's a wide subject, but if we can take it on one thing in the home, and if we think of domestic chores, it is not gender-based. So we're not saying the girls must do nothing and the boys must do everything, but if we can open them up to that, you know, and little things, if we want to teach manners, what is manners? If we don't say please to our children, they're not going to know to say please. If we don't say thank you to them, they're not going to say thank you. So we'll teach them that. Please and thank you is very, very important, you know. Jazakallah, barakallah. Express that gratitude in different ways. If somebody, a teacher was good and gave an extra class, you know, say thank you with a little cupcake or cream. From small, we need to start with this, you know. As in a parenting role, I think we spoke about empathy last week. We need to make this visible. We need our children to understand that we understand. And even though I won't do it like you, I understand why you did it, so that they can feel there's a support system for them to become better. Because we can't go and undo things. If you're embarrassed about something your child did or the way they chose to behave or react or whatever, we need to speak to them in a way that I see you, make the eye contact, I hear you, you know, and then praise good behavior. I often work with moms, and then they'll say, my teenage daughter is so lazy. When she goes to the in-laws, they'll say, mother taught her nothing and what. So we tell them, you lazy, look at your room, you can't even help in the kitchen and whatever. But if we just watch our words, and because we think by giving them negative feedback, that will build them up. So if I tell a child, you're stupid, they're going to all of a sudden become very intelligent. But no, we laugh at the Americans, their clap hands and everything. I used to be one of those people who said, everything is good job. I look after my little grandson, he's 18 months old, but he's so proud when he, for instance, if I change a nappy and I give it to him in the little bag to go put in a dustbin, or if he drinks his bottle and he brings it to me to the basin and I clap hands, I say, you know, that's good or something, I don't say good job, but you know, it's positive affirmation. And I think we do this without realizing. We do this without realizing. We just do, and we speak bad to them, and we compare them to the sister's child and the friend's child. Your child has their own. So if we want good manners and etiquette, let's do that. How do we sit? It's the simple things. For everybody, like I said, it might not be the same things, but I got a lot of feedback, and I don't want to make this about myself. We come from a very small town, so everybody in the community is everybody's parents. It's still very old school. If your child is the disrespectful or make a noise in the masjid, one uncle will someone will clap him against his head, and I'm not going to have a problem with that. You know, it's a different world. So when we moved to Cape Town, people were very impressed that my children can actually assist them, like if somebody has an accident and they stop, you know, in the area and help to change a tire, or they make salam. A simple thing, they said, youngsters don't greet anymore, you know, they'll go to Rondebosch or to the Islamic school and nobody makes salam. And I don't want to go off that, but let's look at the simple things. It's not the very big things. Let's look at Islamic values, how we can put that into practice, and what do I want in my children? What worked for me? And speak that over your children. You know, speak to them. Speak to other people. How you interact? They're the silent watchers. You know. Mm-hmm. I spoke about empathy, and then I want to speak about their good behavior. So when they do something good, please give them feedback, because they'll want to do more of that. I did that with my daughter. You know, I said, you're big now, you're in university, but you never cook, you never do this. You never. I don't want you to cook big tablas for me, but you need to learn, you need to do. And it never worked. And last week, I came from my design office, and I said something that planted the seed, and I came home and I called and I said, you like to eat, eh? And your friends come over on a Saturday, but mommy comes home very late. Do you think you want to make something on a Saturday? You know, like, easy, I'll guide you. We'll make a menu, burgers or ribs. And she just said, gee, mommy, that's fine. But if you come with you're so surprised with the answer. So we always think we need to make them feel bad for them to become good. No. Okay, a lot of repeating that. Okay, also, we must show our disapproval. It's no use we only, you know, praise. When they do wrong, they need to see that we said about it. But we don't give them silent treatment. We don't give them negative words. We don't break them down. We must explain to them why. Tell them, you know, do you think Allah will like this? Do you think Allah is pleased with us? Or would you like to feel whatever works for you? But get into the why factor once again. That why I'm disappointed. I've invested in you. You know how to behave. You know this is not right. This is not a place for you to be seen by. Or I trusted you with a car. Why did you? You know, discuss it so that they can unpack there, but try to be neutral so that you can win. We're always looking for a win-win situation at the end of the day. Then little things like, I'm sorry. Do we ever tell our kids that we're sorry? You know, we're not perfect. We do wrong. So if we can tell them that we're sorry for yelling or doing this or embarrassing them, then they will learn that it's okay to say sorry. From small, this must happen from very small. I taught my children from very young, I never eat the sweets and stuff away. And I would put it in a jar, and there would be 4 chocolate bars, and you can have yours, but you know your siblings must. Simple things like that. You can't have 2 because you know you guys are 4. You know, other, you know, can I go out? I mean, girls and boys, they can be old. If you call them, they must answer that call. There must be rules in a home for these things to be executed. For this is a plan. The teaching the manners and etiquette and the how we're going to do it, the how we're going to do it, is a family plan. So it shouldn't just be top down, because top management is normally the problem. Sorry, but it's true. You know? The compassion, for me, it was always important as a mother to have pets, you know, and for them to take care of that, fully take care of that. You know, they want a pet, they must clean it, keep it clean, keep the eating place clean, change the litter, you know, and that also helps them to sort of, and it's something that when they have anger issues and trauma, it's stuff that can also release a lot of that. Then table manners, I see a lot of things, you know, I didn't think a lot about this, it's just coming to mind. You know, the way we chew on the table, or youngsters would dish out and not worry about the adult on the table, you know, first let mama or papa or nana or dada, you know, those kind of things. It's simple, small things, but it's both character. It's not big things. I also find I'm in my 50s, but when I travel and we may be in the little buses or the airport or wherever you are, and the elder come in, nobody gets up anymore. I still think I'm young. I need to get up for people. And I do, but you don't see that.
You know,
so simple things like that. It's not the big stuff, you know. For me, as I said, gratitude is a very important thing, because if we have gratitude in us, and this is not the big stuff, like I teach children also, that you go to bed, you read your surah al-Grimas at night and whatever, and then you say, Ya Allah, thank you for a day, for a car, for food, for a house, for a mother and a father, those basic things. But I try to encourage them to find the extraordinary moments out of the ordinary day, like a little one came to hug you, or a we don't see butterflies anymore, butterfly came to sit on me, or, you know, the little miracles that Allah bestows on us every day. Find those and make shukr for that. And it should be a moment-to-moment thing. Like if you have a tummy cramp and you need to go to the bathroom and you've got a toilet in your room and you can just step a few steps, you know, be grateful for that. Be grateful for the water that's readily there. Be grateful when you shower. Be conscious. So if gratefulness can actually bring everything together, because if you have a attitude of gratitude, then your manners will just fall in place. I don't know if you agree with me. But if we're not aware of that, this person is so kind, shame they gave me space, and then your kindness can come and your manners will just fall in place. You know, you can't teach these things. You must, like opposite, must model it, and you must treat children that way, because we often say, you don't have respect, you don't respect, you speak like this, but how do we speak to them? So kids tell you nowadays it goes two ways. There's just something on this. I belong to Kamar Institute in Cape Town, where we learn Quran. And Dr. Amira Adam, which is also an alima and a teacher at the Kamar Institute, she mentioned something about, and I'm thinking of Fatua. She said we must keep in mind that the average age is decreasing. So when we used to become balig and matured, it was much later. Now the average age is known as 9 years. So remember last week we said we need to start younger and younger and younger. What really shocked me, and I always believe messages come to us, you know, she mentioned that, and I was aware of it because I worked with the Cancer Association for so long, but it was a nice reminder that our foods are so artificially, you know, grown, like the estrogen levels in the meat that we eat, the chicken, the milk that we drink, the eggs that we eat is causing this. This is contributing that the children are maturing at a much younger age. And then the second factor is that the exposure to the hypersexual world out there, you know, the social media, the advertisements. I mean, you can't even sell a car anymore without a naked woman lying on it. And we're thinking of our boys especially, you know. So in Islam, she mentioned that we hardly have time for transition, because you go to bed tonight and tomorrow morning you get up, you know, and you become balig as a girl or boy or whatever, and then your sins are being written up. So this is a conversation we have to have with our children. This is something we as parents need to remember. There's no time. We need to start teaching and empowering them from a very young age, so it just becomes second nature to them. And when they get, you know, to that level, then they almost, we can still support and still do, because obviously they're understanding. I mean, our maturity really and our decision making in the brain only develops when we're 25. But the children are becoming much more matured and they're much more aware. You know, they don't climb trees like us and play with dolls until we're 16. So we need to be, we need to be aware of that. But if Appa has any other questions on that, you can ask. That's just my thought pattern, you know, in terms of...
Again, so much to think about and to internalize and look at, where am I, the individual, standing in this, definitely. You know, we've talked about with you and learned so much about the different values and the different aspects of Fatuwa. And sometimes when it comes to that duality, it can be a bit challenging. And one that may be challenging, I think, for moms of boy children or caregivers of boys is, how do we balance the strength and the gentleness? Like, we want them to be strong men but gentle, and I think many of us are seeing this coming out of Gaza. We're seeing men that are both gentle but strong. How do we strike that balance? How can we guide our boys?
Let's think about that. For me, they're both great values and qualities. And I don't think, I do think, gentleness is a strength. So if you can be gentle, you're actually strong. Like, there's a lot of sayings that say angry men, or when you throw your, you know, when you get angry, you're actually weak. It's a weakness within one. So how do we encourage and how do we get this right? So we talk about duality, and often people think of that as opposites, you know, but it's on the same line. So when I work with kiddos, especially the teens, I make them understand that if you don't understand what it is to be hungry, you won't understand how it feels to be satisfied. You know, if you're not cold, you can't understand hot, and it's on the same line. So if we can teach them and the how to will come, to be strong enough to face challenges, because let's face it, in global society, there's a breakdown. There's a major breakdown. And the stress is increasing. And I think our kids are suffering more with mental wellness than what we ever did at that age. So we need to form a support system. I would, you know, I really admire people that invest in their children in terms of courses for EQ. It's teaching children to be smart about their feelings. So if you're strong enough, you should be. The idea is to be strong enough to face all challenges that come in, but in the gentleness to find your peace. So where is peace? Peace is, everybody wants peace, you know, with the wars and worldwide, every human being wants peace in the home. But the peace is not outside of us. The peace is inside. It's you. You have to be peace. So if we're peaceful enough, we can be gentle in that peacefulness to understand that whatever, and to have the strength to whatever challenge that comes up, I can handle this because I'm a peaceful being. Let's be upon you, you know, let's be a peaceful being. So for me, EQ very important here, and to choose your battles. And we can only love others if we love ourselves. So I really think self-love comes up for me here, if from a parenting perspective, teach our children, because they can't balance this if they're not at peace with themselves. If they can love themselves for who they are, understand their strengths and weaknesses, because if we know what our weaknesses are, we can teach them how to manage it. And then the gentleness will come. So I think I don't know if something else comes to mind for Appa, but we're talking about the balancing of that. And I really think it can be balanced if I know myself, if I can manage myself, if I understand why I'm feeling this, where is the feeling come from, and I can choose how I'm going to manage it. But I don't have a choice to be gentle. You know, this is a value that I have, but not only gentle with others, gentle with myself so that I can portray that outside. Nothing else comes to mind here, but I do think it's love yourself and you can love others. And gentleness is a strength. Strength is, you know, gentleness is a strength.
Absolutely. Wow. And perhaps if we could close with our time together by asking you, you've shared with us such wonderful gems in part one and again today in the second part of the series, and we're so grateful for that, Coach. If you were to say, okay, someone says, okay, where do I start with values? Are they, in your opinion, and what would be the top three values that we can help our sons discover, to embrace, so that they can discover their own sense of purpose, their own identity? Like you said, you know, we've lost that sense of just being who we are, but feeling we need to be everybody else. So if we're helping our sons develop their sense of identity, their sense of purpose, their self-love, what would you be the top three values that they should be having? Yeah.
I think we should understand the purpose of life. Why we created, you know, and if they can answer that and they know we are all created to submit to Allah. You know, Islam makes it very simple because we all know that where we're going to, what our end goal is. And we sometimes get lost into the roles that we play. So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed different needs in us, and they should understand that, and they should step up to that. But first and foremost, our ultimate purpose comes first. So yes, our people struggle with this. Young people struggle with this, because even mums will tell me, I'm just a housewife, and I have no purpose, I do nothing. But they don't understand them keeping that home clean, them cooking that hot meal, is making the leaders of tomorrow, is the foundation of security, of connection, of love, that will, at the end of the day, contribute to well-rounded leading individuals for the future, you know. So I think if we can sit in and assist them with this, is the who am I, and what do I do, what do I want to do, and who are the people that I want to do this for? Because they get very stuck in terms of you did say the word purpose, eh? The purpose of life. So they need to, what I'm just trying to think, what the teens struggle with. So many of them have conflict within themselves, because at the one side they want to be good Muslims. And remember, no child, no youngster, no matter what difficult challenges and situations we face, I don't know of any child that wants to displease their parent, that want their parent. They are craving that acknowledgement. Okay, they make mistakes and it comes across like that, but they want us to be happy with them. So they don't understand that we have all these different roles and a lot of different areas, you know. If we take a snapshot of our lives, it's school, it's career, it's home, it's maybe on the soccer field, what all the roles that we play. And how come I am doing well at certain of them and I'm doing so bad? And it's normally in the house when the camera zoomed in on you, you know. So they need to understand, who am I? What am I doing? For who am I doing this? And how can I improve? And alhamdulillah, we have the gift of Islam. And at the end of the day, we come back to the same end goal that we want to go to. So if we can reinforce those basic values, if I say three, it can be different from everybody, but I would like to say it's our belief system. Number one, know my purpose, because what do I believe in, and come back to that, to the draw board every time, and practice what I believe in. And then we as parents, if we must reinforce, we must allow, assist them, because they're young, reinforce it, practice it, praise them all the time. And if we look at all the learning out there, what do they do and what do they encourage, is that they encourage reinforcement all the time. Discipline, routine, you know, structure, discipline and routine. If I may.
We just broke up there for a minute. Take us back on okay. that, please, if you're fine about this. You were talking about structured routine.
And discipline. And we as parents should know. But it's no use we don't know. You know, we can't be a human doings and do things without purpose and without knowing why we're doing this. We need to be human beings, and that is assisting your children to beautifully empower them with the knowledge and skills so that they can integrate their own learning, understand themselves better, accept themselves. Acceptance is a good thing, because if you accept yourself and you accept this is what I believe in, then putting it into work, you know, it becomes so much easier. And soon it will become second nature to yourself and your child. But not the nice to haves. It's nice to be like this. Why? You know? Islam is the middle path, and we always need to bring ourselves back to our end goal. We're here now, we have this challenge now, but this is where we want to get to. And I think that is our ultimate purpose. So in my kindness, in my integrity, in my respect of others and myself, my listening skills, in everything that I do, my center purpose is just one.
Subhanallah. Beautifully put, Allah. What a wonderful way to was so much for us to think and reflect on, so much of hikmah that we can see within the concept of futuwa, and we're so grateful for our deen that gives us that. We're very grateful for you, for your time last week and this week, for sharing so generously with us and for equipping us with these tools, and most importantly the tools of reflection, of thought, and inspiring that change in all of us, inshallah. May Allah bless you, may He bless the work that you do, and may you continue to grow from strength to strength in everything that you do. Ameen. Ameen.
Barakallah, Ameen. It's an absolute pleasure, and love to all the mamas and daddies that are struggling with this. It shouldn't be a struggle. Let's just do our best, and our best is good enough, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah for that. Thank you so much for giving us that upliftment and for raising us up and equipping us with the tools that, you know, most of us have the tools, but we sometimes forget as life becomes so pressured, but bringing us back to ourselves. Yeah, and what's beneficial for us, and beneficial reminders for the believers. So thank you so much for that, and for teaching us so many new aspects that we didn't even know we could apply in our uplifting our children. May Allah bless you abundantly, and jazakum Allahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
On the program today, we were speaking to Coach Naila Kaji. Coach is a mindful coach and a CETA accredited trainer. You can find her social media handle is mindful_coaching_NC, talking about Futuwa. Part one aired last week, and this was part two of a two-part series on the concept of Futuwa, making or bringing up or nurturing our sons to be gentlemen. Until we meet you again next week, keep living your legacy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.